You know, I don't delegate it to my wife and have her tuck them in. I'm the one who tucks them in. I'm the one who prays with them. I'm the one that takes the things that are in my heart and I talk about them when I rise up and when I lay down and when I walk along the way.
Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, Todd, how's it going?
It's going great, Scott. Even though it's a little cold, I'm out here in the Family Man barn that lots of you dads were a part of. And I try to keep the heat like fairly low, thinking that, you know, because we're not out here all the time. And so I'll kick it up. But it's really cold in here right now. So my hands are cold, but my ears are warm because I've got ear things on, you know, headphones. That's what they're called. I knew they were not ear muffs with radios inside, headphones. But I'm super excited because we have a special guest with us today. And Davis Carman has been with us before, but Davis, it is good to have you with us again.
Oh, thanks, Todd. It is always fun to have a conversation, whether it's in a podcast, in a barn, or wherever we may be.
Okay. Well, you know, last time we talked, we kind of talked about family worship because I'm always so struck by how intentional you are. And you've recently come out with a new book. And I don't want to give away the farm yet, but just so everybody knows who they're listening to, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your family?
Sure. My wife, Rachel, and I have been married for 32 years now. Seems impossible almost, but we're crazy in love, and God blessed us with 7 kids. Most of them have left the nest already, though. 5 have graduated from our homeschool, and 2 of them are married. We got 2 grandkids, and we're left with the 2 younger boys at the house right now, but they are large, strong, teenage young men, so they keep us busy and active. So we are the stewards of a publishing company called Apologia Educational Ministries. So our claim to fame is creation-based science and biblical worldview curricula. So that's what we do to help homeschooling families learn, live, and defend the faith. And we just love how family and homeschooling blend together and how that has affected our marriage, our parenting, everything we do. It's just been a big part of our life for the last 10 plus years. We've been homeschooling for 23 years, but that's a different story. But that's a little bit about you know, who the Carman family is.
Now, I know that I've seen lots of the Apologia textbooks. The book I'm holding in my hand is not a textbook. I mean, it is a book and it has text in it. But it's called Truth to Know Early, and it's a paperback. It's a large, you know, about a textbook. 8.5 by 11 size. I can tell right off the bat because of some great illustrations that are done by your son. We should talk about him in a few minutes, that it might be geared to a little bit younger person, but, maybe tell us why you wrote this book.
Sure. This is actually the 5th book I've written, but they've all had some things in common, and that's specifically they're for preschool age kids. So it's meant for a parent to be reading to their son, you know, at bedtime, in a, you know, what I call a Deuteronomy 6 moment on the couch or outside on the porch. And so this particular book is Truths to Know Early. And it's largely based on some of the Barna research that many people are familiar with that says, you know, barely 1 out of 5 people who profess to be a Christian even have a biblical worldview. And it's less than that. It's less than 1% of all Americans age 18 to 23. And so when I looked at some of that research, I asked myself, well, how did Barna define biblical worldview? And when do people generally have their worldview formed? And the answers are interesting. People generally have their worldview formed by the time they're 13. So the point is, we've, as parents, have got to figure out a way to instill that foundation at an early age. So I'm saying, hey, let's start in preschool before, you know, when they can't even read yet and they're just learning how to read. But the other is the definition of biblical worldview. And Barna had about 40 plus questions. And all he required was if you answered yes to 8 of them, that's how he defined a biblical worldview. So I actually took all of those questions that he had in his research survey and boiled it down to 34 truths that I put in this book. And it just literally takes the children through a progression from the very first simplest one, that God exists, that God is, he's real, all the way down to the very last one, that Jesus is coming again. And there's a natural progression as you go through that, again, based on the Barna research. So that's the thinking behind this book, to help young kids learn truths that'll start setting their worldview to be one that's aligned with what Scripture teaches us.
Mm. You know, really, it could line up, you know, even as I was kind of, when I first got in, I was looking through it, it really is kind of like a preschool Ryrie's basic theology book, because it really covers from the very beginning. I'm just going to read the very first entry, and then maybe you could comment on it, Davis. And then maybe you could talk about some of the other ones that you've chosen, or maybe not your favorites, but some things that you, and the reason why you think it's so important. And maybe even starting here, it says God exists. God is a real person, not imaginary like you. He has thoughts and feelings. He makes choices and he creates things. Unlike you, God does not have a physical body. That's because he is a spirit. And then you have two verses. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And then John 4:24, God is spirit and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. You started there. And why'd you start there? And I'm going to kind of, I hate the word when people say I'm going to play the devil's advocate, because I don't want to be the advocate there. But, you know, isn't it pretty obvious that God exists? Do you think our kids are going to grow up? And I know this is like a dumb question, because like, duh, you know, they are growing up around us believing that God doesn't exist. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, Davis? Yeah, it's a great question, because like you say, if, you know, I do tend to lean towards intentional living, sometimes to a little bit of an extreme, but I think the opposite extreme is pretty dangerous. And that's if you're parenting just, you know, randomly and, you know, by the, you know, the seat of your pants. And parenting's a lot of work, and it can be overwhelming at times. And so that's why this can be a resource to help parents sit down and state what might be the obvious to them. And maybe they've even taught their children that God exists, but let's start there, because at some point in time, those kids, when they become 8 years old, 12 years old, 14, or somewhere in there, they're going to be challenged with, does God really exist? And why do you believe that? How can you know that? And so this at least sets the foundation. This is really what we, you know, to believe. There can be other books to explain why we believe that. But yeah, this is a basic one, but let's not overlook the obvious, you know, basics that, you know, whether, you know, if you're playing basketball, let's learn how to shoot, dribble, and pass. We'll figure out the complex stuff later. And same kind of thing here. That's the best place to start, because eventually that's probably going to be one of the biggest questions a person has, especially if they, you know, become skeptical or start doubting or run into crowds that question what they were taught, you know, or by osmosis. And so this is a way to make it be intentional for the parents and to give them a resource to help them in that.
Because even as you said, you know, the crowds used to be, you know, and maybe it's been a long time, but the crowds used to kind of confirm what these truths that are in here, right? I mean, people used to say, well, of course God exists. You know, it was just almost stated for, you know, even for the last several hundred years, it was just assumed. I mean, all our founding fathers, you know, whether they truly, truly believed the gospel, they still believed that God existed. Now it is not so. In fact, you know, it really concerns me, because And really one of the reasons why we homeschool our kids is because the unbelievers, the skeptics, they don't even say God doesn't exist. They'd say you'd be stupid to believe that God, there is a God, you know, and really that's powerful stuff. You know, they're not just doing it logically. They're belittling the believer in that. And I think, you know, wow. I mean, I don't remember ever being confronted like that.
Oh yeah. Our kids are going to face completely different challenges than you and I had to face that are, as you said, foundational, seemingly obvious truths that we have accepted since possibly we were a child. If we grew up in a Christian family, that their general community at large is not going to have that same, you know, background and that same perspective.
Mm-hmm. What about some of the other truths in here? I mean, there, again, it's very intentional. It leads very logically along the way. But what are some of the other truths that you want our kids to know, your kids to know?
Yeah, well, going from left to right, about the 10th, 11th, or 12th one, they're not numbered here. Mm-hmm. But one of my favorites is God created everything. And of course, these are written, you know, to a preschooler. So that they're one, two, or three word statements. And I love that one because that basically says we didn't just evolve out of, you know, primordial ooze. God mm-hmm. created us out of nothing. So I love that because of the creation statement that is. And of course, Apologia is a creation-based science company, so that's near and dear to my heart. But one of the other reasons that ties into the illustrator of this book is that I really like the illustration for this one. It's a picture of there's four characters in this book, by the way. And so you see these four children. Sometimes there's only one of them in the illustration, sometimes two, three, sometimes all four. But you see these characters going through the truths. And so the you know, the young preschool kids that you're raising, they can start relating to maybe the boy or the girl or, you know, what they're dressed in. And this one has this boy floating in space with a space helmet on, and it has a, you know, some good action to it. And I just really think that when my son illustrated this one, I had my little preschool head on. And I thought, oh, if I was a little 4-year-old, I'd love that picture right there. So, that's one that I think the kids will enjoy as they, you know, imagine, wow, that's right, the sun and moon, they're so big and far away, and God created all this, and how's it all hanging, but, you know, how does it not fall down, or how's it held up, and, you know, all those kind of questions that, you know, a kid might be thinking of after you read a book to them, say your prayers, put them to bed, and they're laying there alone with God, thinking about that truth, perhaps, and just thinking about the sun and the moon and the stars and the sky and the universe and the awe and worship that might begin in their young heart.
Mm. And you've already kind of mentioned that your son did the illustrations. I said it as well. And just because nobody can see these, they can go online and see the book, but the illustrations are amazing. Tell us about your son. I mean, these are obviously not just drawn by a kid who's good with the crayons, and this is what he does.
It's true. Yeah. So the way our family set up, we got two boys on the front end, two boys on the back end, and three girls tucked safely in the middle. That's how God designed our family.
This was, even though Davis is very intentional, that was not his plan.
That was not my plan. No, that was God's plan all the way. And so our second second son named Anderson. Matter of fact, he's got a very presidential name, Anderson Davis Carmen.
It does sound presidential.
And three last names totally confused a lot of people.
That's right.
But he's a great story about just our homeschooling journey, because he learned by osmosis. So we had, out of those seven kids, we had two that just, you know, didn't want to learn to prove that we couldn't homeschool. Mm-hmm. And then we had two that just made us look like the best homeschooling parents ever. And Anderson was one of those. he made us look good. He made it look easy. And so he finished his 12th grade science book by the time he was in 9th grade. And we were trying to keep this kid busy because he was just so naturally inclined to work long hours, study a long time. He understood it immediately, had, you know, photographic memory and all that. Well, in high school, he got interested in computer animation and started down that path. And so, and that was after a biology route. So we thought he was going to be a veterinarian. Then we thought he was going to be a computer animator. And along that time frame, he really started discovering his ability in art, and specifically illustrating art. And so eventually he started, you know, going to school to improve that skill of his, and graduated from a really good art school. So
you might as well tell him where it is, because I'm going to get an email that said,
okay,
yeah, because they're going to want to know.
Well, and yeah, Savannah College of Art and Design, it's called SCAD for short. They have branches in Savannah, Georgia. That's their main branch, but they also have a branch in France, some other location, and then Atlanta, Georgia, and that's where he happened to go. So they're a very well-known school, but he only went there the last 2 years because it's so expensive. There was no way he could go there for 4 years, and when he tried the second year, he didn't have quite enough scholarships. The gap was just way too much. But by the time he continued adding to his portfolio, when he had 2 years left, I mean, they basically were whining and dining him and said, "We want you at our school. How much do you need?" Mm-hmm. And so he got some great scholarships, finished 2 years there. And I'll even brag on him and say he was nominated for valedictorian, but he wasn't politically correct enough to win that award, but mm-hmm. he was fine. And so he's a freelance artist now. He does some work for Apologia on the side. We're one of his customers, and he has other clients that he does work with. But as a dad working with my highly talented artistic son on a project like this, and we're working on one right now as well, that's a lot of fun just in its own right. Just the back and forth, we got a lot of good synergy when we work on projects like this. And me personally, I think one of the most important things about any illustrated children's book are the pictures more than the few words that I might produce. And so there's been a lot of books like this that I've rejected when I've looked at other artists' work. But my son, I think I'm being objective, is a very talented artist. And so people that take a look at the book, they can see for themselves. But there's some good ones in here.
Oh, and I would just say it has a kind of a very contemporary feel. You know, a lot of the illustrations in some of these, I would say, Bible books for young kids are kind of a 1970s, 1980s, 1950s look. These are very right now, you know, 2020 look.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I see too, you know, you kind of progress through, you talk about some of the truths, not just about God, but you talk about, you know, the Bible, you talk about Jesus. I even see, I was looking at this one, you know, God wants people to fill the earth. You know, that is like, that's anti-world or, you know, regular worldview. I mean, I don't see anything about here warming up the earth and, you know, it's killing us by overpopulating. It's just the opposite. You tell us right. that God wants men and women to marry, have babies, and teach their children all about him. He has commanded us to fill the earth with people he made in his image. Why put that one in there, Davis?
Well, it is one of the questions somewhat related to the Barna research study, but it is also, you know, very specifically put in there to help instill a worldview in a kid who's going to face that man is the problem with overpopulation of the world, and, you know, marriage isn't good, kids aren't good, and all that kind of stuff. And it can seem so subtle, and it can almost seem even, you know, like a smart thinking. Surely we should take care of the earth, but God's given us instructions on how to do that. And believe it or not, one of them is to fill up this place. And in man's wisdom, we think we know better, but you know, the Malthusians have been proven wrong so many times because we're made in God's image. And part of that's being innovative and creative to come up with new ways to feed, you know, 7.5 billion people in the world when it used to only be 5 and used to only be 2 and used to only be 1 billion. So I'm not too worried about the world getting 10 billion people and God providing people to figure out how to take care of the energy, food, and other needs that we'll have.
Because like you said, I mean, on the title, it's a truth. You know, you didn't make that up. You didn't say, oh, it sounds like a good thing. Well, because populations are showing to have been shown to go down, you know, are going down in some countries. You didn't base it on that.
Right.
You based it on biblical truth.
Right.
You know, you also talk about, you know, Jesus being the only way, heaven's a place of eternal joy. You even talk about hell's a place of eternal punishment. I mean, this is not like the happy book. You know, you're good, I'm good, we're all good. And, you know, this is biblical truth.
Well, yeah, because one of the eight questions that I had to make sure I had in here is that, do you believe Satan is real or not? And so one of the truths is that Satan is your enemy. And that one reads, you know, the devil is real. He's your enemy. He's a liar and a thief and so on. And I remember when Anderson and I were working on this page, the question was, okay, how are we going to draw, you know, a devil, a Satan, without scaring the little kids and without it looking, you know, like a 1960s, you know, pitchfork and horns. And Anderson did a really good job here to, you know, it's some kind of, you know, devilish looking creature with a lot of fire on him, sort of made of fire, but not overwhelmingly scary that's going to produce nightmares for young kids. Just intrigue that they go, ooh, that's a bad guy.
That's right. And they probably will turn to that one over and over again. And like, show me the one with the fire guy. Right. It just covers it all, Davis. How would you tell a dad that, I mean, you kind of mentioned this already, because, you know, some of us dads, we just don't know what to do with this book. What's the best way that maybe how we might even introduce it to our children and read it to them?
Yeah, well, I have some good test subjects, that being my grandkids, but also some, you know, friends in town that have, you know, young kids that they've, you know, read these books, this book and others to them. And I get lots of good feedback from them. And really, it's pretty simple. Just like with any book, sit down with your kid at bedtime. Hey, let's, you know, brush your teeth. Let's go to the bathroom. Let's get you tucked in. And hey, dad's got a book. You know, let me read it to you. And you just start at the left and turn the pages, moving to the right, go left to right through it, you know, slowly but surely. You know, it's designed to be short enough that you could read the whole thing in a reasonable time that's not too long for dad, but not too short for the kid. And, you know, tuck them in, say your prayers and you know, turn off the light so they can go to sleep if you're tucking them in at bedtime. But they might get stuck on one and they might say, daddy, what's this mean? I don't understand. Or maybe a short conversation happens and you just, you know, put a little post-it there to mark your spot in the book and pick it up again, you know, tomorrow. So just like any book, just go left to right. If you finish it in one night, great. Read it again the second night. You know, however many times until the kid's tired of it. If you want to get through part of it, that's fine. Pick it up the next night and keep going until, you know, you get that feedback from your kid that tells you how to continue the conversation, what other books to read, what other conversations to have, and just how to have what I call those Deuteronomy 6 moments where you just, you know, when you're rising up and lying down, when you're walking along the way and sitting at the tables, that you have those conversations with your kids all through the course of the day and a week and their life, to where you know your kid's heart and you're picking up on what are their questions, what are they excited about, are they falling in love with God, where can I help them as a parent and as a dad fall more in love with the God that created them.
Well, I'm sure some dads are intrigued. And how can they get a hold of the book, and how can they learn more about Apologia and you?
Yeah, so right now this book is actually offered exclusively through christianbook.com. So if you go to christianbook.com and, you know, type in at the top of their bar "truths to know early," you'll find it. And you know, it's got a purplish cover with a blue banner up top. So that's the way to find the book. And then I have a blog at daviscarman.com. Of course, you have to spell it right. So Davis is actually with an S, and Carman is C-A-R-M-A-N. There's just one of me. But that website will show you these books. you know, some of the articles that I've written and other things I've done to help people in their homeschooling journey, help dads in their journey, and specifically showing my other books to help parents with their young preschool kids.
And that will take them also to Apologia, I assume.
Right. Apologia.com, A-P-O-L-O-G-I-A, is the website for our textbooks for K through 12 science, other biblical worldview courses, and so forth.
Well, Davis, that was awesome. I have the book, and now you really motivated me to take it up to my, not just leave it on my desk to analyze and prepare for this, but to use it with my kids. And I want to encourage the other dads to check that out again at Christian Book Distributors, also known as CBD. Even though I just checked, you can't type in CBD. You have to type in Christian Book Distributors as a search. And thank you for joining us, Davis. And keep doing what you're doing.
Well, thank you. And, you know, I have to mention real quick, I need to thank you on the air for endorsing this book. You're on the back cover of this as one of the four folks that say, you know, take a look and what you thought about it. So that's why you got your first, you know, inaugural cover.
There you go. There you go. Well, thanks for joining us, Davis. And thanks for not just being an author, but being a good dad.
Thanks. And to Todd, thanks for what you're doing. I love reading the emails and the newsletters. You just got a way with dads to encourage us to stay in the game.
Well, that's I'm one of you. I'm one of you. Okay. Well, Scott, you know, I have this twinge, though, every time I talk to Davis, because he's so intentional with his kids, I always feel a twinge of I'm not intentional enough, you know, and I could kind of lament the fact and I could get stuck in that. But, you know, God made us all the dads different, but I can do these things. I can take this book and I can read these things. I can pray with my kids at night. I can pick up, you know, if you don't go get this book, which is a great book, then pick up one of those other books that you've had.
Well, this book and those kinds of things are these are what dads like me need. Yeah. When, you know, when you're lazy and not particularly great at being intentional, if you have one of these books on your shelf, you just grab it and like, hey, let's read, kid. You know?
Yeah. And really the only thing that keeps us from doing that is ourselves. And because it doesn't take a rocket scientist, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to do this. It just takes a dad who, and I know it's hard. I know it's hard. I mean, I told my kids, you know, after I think a couple of shows again, we were going to read Little House on the Prairie. I was going to read with my little boys, but you know, they stay up a little bit too long and then we don't get in bed in time and it's just too late. But I need to be the dad and I need to make sure, you know, we have bedtime. At bedtime, you know, I don't delegate it to my wife and have her tuck them in. I'm the one who tucks them in. I'm the one who prays with them. I'm the one, you know, that takes the things that are in my heart and I talk about them when I rise up and when I lay down and when I walk along the way. But we can't do that if we're not there. So, hey, Dad, have a great weekend. Check out that book, Truth to Know Early, and do it because you did Dad.
And that's our show for this week, Dad. Thanks for joining us for The Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. And a special thank you to Davis Carman for joining us today. You can check out his book again at christianbook.com, or you can find him at daviscarman.com. Thanks for joining us, Dads. If you have a question for the show, email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com. And if you have a question for me, you can reach me at Scott at unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week. Stay